Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. We have now reconvened from closed session. We started this evening's meeting with the flag salute, invocation, and the swearing in of our newest board member, Michael Flowers. We've met in closed session and returned. We do have two matters to take action on this evening that we discussed in closed session. In accordance with Education Code 48918J, the board will take final action in open session on the expulsion matters described in Item A of the closed session agenda. With regard to the recommendation to expel student number 181691 for violation of Education Code Section 48900H, J, and K, and 48915A2, is there a motion?
I'll move it.
Been moved by Cami Polis, seconded by Jessica Shoemaker. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. It has to be a roll call?
No.
You need to do a roll call. All right. I wasn't down that far, but all right. I'm sorry. Will you do a roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Cox.
Here.
Mrs. Polis.
Here.
Mrs. Miranda Jimenez.
Here.
Mr. Flowers.
Here.
Ms. Shoemaker.
Here.
Mrs. Kaplan.
Here.
I'm sorry, it's the crowd's got me a little flustered. Now we'll take action. And that motion was by Cami Polis, seconded by Justice Shoemaker, and it's 5-0. With regard to the recommendation to expel student number 192051 for violation of Education Code Section 48900J, is there a motion?
I'll move.
I'll second it. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. All right, the next item on our agenda this evening is a presentation regarding the Edgewood High School Every 15 Minutes program. Who is presenting?
Mr. Travatore?
Well, thank you, Board of Education, Superintendent Kaplan, and Cabinet for providing this opportunity to present to you this program this evening. Just to provide a little bit of context, I don't want to steal our students' thunder because they're going to present the bulk of this tonight, but board members may be aware that West Covina High School had ran the Every 15 Minutes program for years. I think up until the last few years ago they've done that. But bringing it to Edgewood High School, this is 2 years in the making. There was a PTSA meeting that we had last year, and some parents recognized the phenomenon that some of our students are juniors and are of driving age, and there's many risks associated with that. So this year we had a distracted driving workshop, and our PTSA partnered with the CHP with that, and it kind of grew a life of its own after that. We looked at the fact that we have juniors and seniors now, and we have a prom coming up in April, so it's really taken a life of its own since then, and we did not want to preempt the board in any way by having meetings with the CHP in advance. There is a grant that we had applied for and we received, but the recommendation from the CHP was to kind of pursue that, also to have meetings with students and parents, etc., just to see if there was interest there. So we want to make sure that it was feasible, it fit our learning community, prior to us asking Mrs. Kaplan to have an audience to present to. So I want to underscore one fact. This is student-driven, student-organized. It benefits students. And based upon that, we felt it prudent that we would have students present tonight. So I'd like to introduce two fine students we have enrolled at Edgewood High School who are seniors, Melissa Moreno and Roberto Nunez.
Thank you, Mr. Travatore. Good evening. First, I'd like to extend my gratitude towards the Board of Education, Superintendent Kaplan, and the Cabinet for allowing me to present our presentation tonight. Drunk driving seems to be a problem that plagues our nation. Recently, a catastrophic accident took place on a nearby freeway. The accident killed 6 people and injured 2. It all could have been avoided. Officer Jimenez, one of the CHP officers who spoke to us, said that all DUI accidents are avoidable. Yet, 1 in 5 teen drivers are involved in, or 1 in 5 teen drivers involved in a fatal car accident had alcohol in their system, and more than 3 people under the age of 21 die each day in an alcohol-impaired driving crash. We need to do something. My gym teacher would always tell me that if you're not part of this problem, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And I feel fortunate to say that Edgewood High School can be part of the solution with the Every 15 Minutes program.
The Every 15 Minutes program is designed to increase the awareness of the dangers of drunk driving. It presents the opportunity to give students real-life experience without real-life risks. And in pursuing this program, we want to get this message across before anyone else can get hurt.
If approved, then on April 22nd, 20 students will be escorted out of class by the Grim Reaper. A uniformed officer will read the student's obituary and then accompany him or her to a room where he or she will be made to represent the living dead. The students will then be escorted to a staged accident scene on Trojan Way. They will participate as a background for the drama that will unfold with the reenactment of a fatal car accident.
After the accident, participants and chaperones will be transported to hotels to participate in a retreat. Students will be housed at the Hampton Inn and the Fairfield Marriott in West Covina.
Students will return to Edgewood the morning of April 23rd to participate in a junior-senior assembly about drinking and driving.
There will also be a video production which will capture the entire event. It will show the backstory of why the driver is intoxicated, and it will conclude with the living dead, as Roberto had mentioned before.
Because prom is a time when students may be tempted to make bad decisions, the assembly and the event will take place the week leading up to prom.
We've already contacted parents of interested students and have gotten an overwhelming amount of support for the program. The public will be notified of the event just prior to the event of the car crash taking place.
A lot of work is necessary to make this event a reality, and because of that, students have already been assigned varying responsibilities in subcommittees like video production, makeup, and setup.
And we already have resources available to us to continue to pursue the program.
We received a $10,000 grant from California Highway Patrol to cover almost all of the costs.
Community involvement is crucial to this program, and it's vital to making this program a success, and it's vital to have this program have the impact that we want it to have in the program.
To allow that to happen, we already partnered with California Highway Patrol.
Additionally, the Fairfield Marriott and the Hampton Inn are more than willing to provide us with rooms, and they've donated all the rooms necessary in order to house students for the retreat.
And that only names a few of the organizations that have agreed to help us.
We hope that this program will shed a new light on the situation of drunk driving by raising this issue in such an emotional way.
Most importantly, it convinces students not to drink and drive.
Also, just as important, we want to make people think twice about getting in the car with a drunk driver, and in their hesitation, we want them to make the right decision.
And now all we need from you tonight to make this program a reality is your approval. Are there any questions?
Question and answer now, or on the agenda item?
We'll just deal with the agenda item, but if you have something directly what they said.
You said that you were going to let the public know just prior before?
Yes.
Would that be on the marquee and our website? I know when it was done at West Covina High School, I was getting calls saying, what happened? There was a big accident. And people were really concerned about student safety and what they had seen, and then I had to tell them, you know, about the every 15 minutes. Sure. So how are they going to be informed?
Well, that's an important question. Thank you for that. If this is approved, we kind of want to admonish the audience not to talk about it. The reason being is it really takes away the impact of the students. We have a subcommittee that's been formed, and we've been kind of having clandestine meetings, if you will. We have talked to parents and the rest of it, but the impact of this is for it to be as realistic as possible. So it's that careful balance between notifying folks in the community. We've got condos across the street from Edgewood High School because they'll see that Trojan Way is shut down while we do this, only for a couple hours. So advisement from the CHP and Officer Don Fernald, who's now with the Roland School Police, he was instrumental, and it's my understanding, with West Covina High School's version of this a few years ago. So can I give you a time frame, 24 hours, 48 hours? Something like that, we would make notification right before. It may entail some door knocking, of course, the marquee and all of that.
Right. And well, and I was thinking the marquee because then when people, if it's closed off, of course people are going to be worried. But if they see it on the marquee, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's why I coordinated with West Covina PD and also the city to assist with that and making sure that it's not disruptive to the community as a whole.
And I have one more question. It's a great program, although it can be quite disturbing with the gonging of the bell and tolling of the bell for the dead and the Grim Reaper coming in and getting your friends. If there are students that are very disturbed by this, is there a place for them to go and somebody for them to talk to? And I know it's difficult to get away from the bell tolling. Have you thought that out and what may happen for those students?
Yes, we have. We have a site school psychologist. We also have counselors. We most likely contact district office to see if there's additional counseling support that would be available on standby during this. And without sounding cruel, I mean, that is the power of this. It is emotionally traumatic. It's got to be gripping, et cetera, because we want this to resonate if the night of the prom they're tempted to make that bad decision, that logic will set in, but the emotional impact that this has created with them. So, again, it's balance. We have to kind of walk that fine line.
And I understand all of that. I just want to make sure that there's something in place for students who may need a little extra support through this. Because it can be quite disturbing, and for the reasons you just described. Those are the only two questions I had.
You did an excellent presentation, students, and I really... you were well-researched. You presented well. Thank you, students that are here supporting your colleagues as well. I'm really glad that you're taking this on and that each of you are taking it seriously. So I look forward to seeing the demonstration as it plays out because I'm only a few blocks away. So thank you. Thank you for doing this. Very, very needed.
Thank you again for your time and consideration.
Ms. Shoemaker.
I just wanted to say, when I went to West Covina High, this was one of the programs we had, and the first time it happened was my junior year, and we knew nothing about it. I happened to be on the part of campus that is by the administration office when this happened, and it was god-awful, the sound of the crashing cars and, you know, then hearing all of our friends, parents read letters about how they felt if that had been real, and... when I saw that this was coming back, I was immensely excited. This has always been one of my favorite programs. When I heard it was coming back, my first question was, is Chief Renault involved? Because that's where I initially met him. He left West Covina Police Department to go to Roland Unified to be their chief, and so I've always appreciated him coming back and helping West Covina Unified put this on. Is even when it was going back and forth between South Hills High and West Covina High. So welcome back. And the reason I talk now is just so you're aware, we have approval of this program on consent. So when we approve the consent calendar, unless it's pulled off, it will be approved then. You will not hear a separate vote.
And I must... I myself like to congratulate the students. You guys did do an excellent job. And I can remember myself when my son was involved with this, and he was the one that was involved in that accident. Mm. And I think people was running up to my wife and telling her, you know, how sorry she was. And you know, it was very emotional. But it was very successful. So I commend you guys on it, you know, and look forward to seeing it myself. I live right around the corner, so I look forward to being a part of seeing you guys in action. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, guys. We'll move on to our hearing session. I have nothing to report this evening. Do you have anything, Jessica, report? Do you have anything to report?
Yes. I do. I have a list. So be patient. It was a very busy 2 weeks. Okay, I went to the Kaiser Community Health Needs Assessment, and I want to pass along this information to our district. I got two copies. And it was a very small meeting, but they presented they did the local San Gabriel Valley Health Needs Assessment, and all their stats and data are on these little flash drives right here. And I grabbed them because in case we do any grants in which we're looking at any health-related issues with students, they captured everything. Very, very extensive. So I thought, you know, we can even give a copy to Steve Simulian if there's any opportunities for grants and pulling data from there. So it was really, really well done on behalf of Kaiser. So I went representing the district. Also, I know that it's going to be on our agenda and a meeting to come, but the academic decathlon did amazing at Edgewood High School. It was so, so good to be there. They came in eighth overall. They're going to go to state, so congratulations again to Edgewood High School. A lot of fun. I got to sit with the students this time versus with the parents, so I was right there in the thick of the action. And West Covina participated as well. They did really, really well. Also, one of our schools, the open house season has already begun, and I have to commend the students of San Jose. They did a great, great job. Their work that was displayed was excellent, so it was really good to be there to support their effort. Cammy and I were also at the West Covina Beautiful, and it was really nice to see all of us come together to celebrate the city. And all the people who were being awarded, the volunteers, were amazing, and some of those volunteers have done work with the schools, so we really appreciate their efforts. Also, in addition to that, again, Edgewood, much ado. Your production was excellent. Had me crying at the end. That's why Hannah is not here, nor is our backup, because they had such a big demand. They extended the performance another 3 days? 3 days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right?
Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. So if anybody in the community has an opportunity, it's only $5, and the students put their heart and soul into it. It was awesome. The last thing for my colleagues here, also since all of you are here, we welcome and invite you on Thursday at 7 o'clock at Edgewood High School in the gym to come to our LCAP meeting. That's the Local Control Accountability Plan. We welcome the input of all the community. It'll be held again at 7 o'clock, Edgewood High School, in the gym. We had to change the location because we're expecting very large crowds.
And
so,
interested people, if you can RSVP to Monica Kelly, it's really helping us get all the materials so that we have enough materials for everybody.
Yes. And on the Hearst Ranch, because I sit on the Hearst Ranch board, I want to let you know we have two new city reps. We have Mr. Fred Sykes, who's our city rep on Hearst Ranch, as well as Mr. Corey Warshaw. And so two important dates for my colleagues here on the board to put on your calendars. October the 18th is the annual membership barbecue fundraiser. That's when they raise money and try to increase the membership, and it helps the bottom line. And Hearst Ranch has been partnering with our school district. This is our second year with our Garden Gourmet program that is extremely successful. We have a Ms. Pruitt here. The program is one of our schools. So I encourage everyone to come out and show their support, as well as we now have a date for the Harvest Festival. It's October the 18th. And a lot of our kids from West Covina attend that. So parents, put that on your calendar as well. For my colleagues here on the board, I'm sorry, audience, this one is not for you, but I'll just pass this out. Just a reminder that on Saturday, so Mr. Flowers, if you want to go with me, I'm already registered, we can carpool. It's the LCFF training workshop that CSBA is putting on. It is excellent. I went to the first one a few months ago, and they are now putting on an update because the state has updated their plan and their monetary figures. And then this one is for the whole audience. It is on our website, this particular flyer that I'm going to pass out to my colleagues. And our superintendent will be speaking. She's part of the panel, but at the point that we did the flyer. It's putting California back to work. It's the California School Board Region 23, which I'm a delegate to. Here we go. We are putting on a Common Core workshop and connecting it to life after leaving school, so your work life. So a lot of the topics we're going to be talking about Common Core and how to connect that and how it's going to assist our students as they continue to transition. That'll be on Saturday, March the 22nd from 1 to 3 p.m., and it's at the Baldwin Park Performing Arts Center. And there's 9 of us school districts that are coming together to put this on. No, I'm sorry, there's more of us. There's 18 school districts coming together to put this on. West Covina is one of them. So this is on our website, so if anybody wants to take a look at this and join us on March 22nd, one of our panelists is our own superintendent. Okay, that is it. Like I said, busy 2 weeks. Thank you.
Mrs. Polis?
I just wanted to thank the Lion Readers. We have a program where Lions go out and read with local elementary school students, and the Cameron program is the one that they selected this year. We have 4 of our readers here today. They brought their students to the lunch and gave them a packet of books, and the students were so excited to be recognized in that way and to recognize the readers. And I just wanted to do that here in front of a room full of people, that we really need the community to make a difference, help make a difference in our students' lives, and I just appreciate you. So can I have the 4 of you stand up so we can recognize you? Shows how a community comes together and makes a difference for our students. And if you could have seen their faces, and it was almost like their parents being there, just couldn't put the cameras down, taking so many pictures of them, you could tell how loved those students were with their readers. So thank you so much. I just appreciate that extra effort every week going and reading with those students. And I do see a person who will not be named in the audience who does a lot of public service. And I will say it's from Merlinda. And when the students really learned how to do service this year, one of my little ones was there, and to learn how to give at the holidays to people who really need it. And I know she doesn't like to be recognized, but I just wanted to say, I know it happened at more than one school, but I know for my little one who came from some challenges, she couldn't wait to bring socks to people, peanut butter. She got to decorate bags for the homeless. And because she came from a background where she needed things, to be able to give it to somebody else makes a world of difference. And I know there's just not one person in here. There's many of you who on a regular basis teach your students how to serve. So thank you so much.
Not have a student representative report this evening, so we'll go directly into items from the floor, public comment, and our first speaker is David Bagey.
I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to address you tonight. I stand here not as myself, but I stand here representing 435 plus unit members. I stand here representing our executive board of officers, our sub-boards, and they have asked me to come and speak to you tonight. First of all, when you look around, we have many things to be thankful for. We have schools that are in very good shape. I thank the board for this. The board, through its instruction to the superintendent and assistant superintendents, is bringing us training to prepare us for Common Core. That is wonderful. We are way ahead of many of our colleague districts. I recently attended a workshop with some of the other officers this last weekend, and we are in great shape compared to others. So thank you. We know many resources are being spent, and we know many countless hours have been put into this, and for that we are thankful. We're also thankful that in recent times we did escape major cutbacks. We also did escape people being laid off. We are thankful for that. When you look around today, you need to look at the following things. We have 14 staffs of hardworking individuals. We have people there that are there to meet your children every day, every step of the way. It starts from the transitional kindergarten and leaves us at high school level. When I visit campuses, which I do as the president of our association, I'm amazed as I walk through and I see the work going on. I commend my fellow colleagues for all the work that they have done. They are opening their doors and embracing our changes that are coming in education. There's talk in the lunchrooms. There's talk out on the playgrounds. There's talk all over the school asking people, what are you doing? How are you doing this? Can I see what you're doing? The walls are being broken down, and we are in the process of preparing our children to be a part of the future instead of apart from it. However, other things aren't quite as bright on our horizon. We have staffs that are faced with everyday common needs as, how are we going to make our mortgage payment? How are we going to pay for child care? How are we going to pay for the groceries and pay our other bills? Unfortunately, there's even a more increasing thing that is hitting us very hard, and that is, how do we pay for elder care? Many of our staff members find themselves now caring for their elderly parents and other people. All of this is quite costly. We have sat for 6 years, and we know things have been bad. Now things are a little bit better, and we are hoping, we are very much hopeful that with the change and all the new embracements, the new funding that is possible to come through, the hard work that my colleagues did and the teachers across the state to pass the propositions to maintain our funding, we are hoping now that we too can share in these benefits. We are asking for 4 things. We are asking for charity, compassion, caring, and value. Self-examination is very hard, but every person needs to look into the mirror and say, am I compassionate for those people around us? Do I care for them? Do I show them charity? And do I value them? Our teachers are feeling very, very much a lot of pressure. They have never been in a time that is so much pressured. Last year, our Board of Education did a wonderful thing, and I'm hoping that this is just the start for us. And that is when you offered to our faculty, well-deserved faculty members, the incentive package for retirement. That changed many of their lives in a very positive way, and for that we are eternally grateful. We are asking now that as you look into your hearts and we look into the future, that you consider what we can all do to work together. It is time now that we look at how we can enhance our teachers' lives as well as the lives of our students. There is not one teacher here that does not make personal sacrifices for his or her classroom. Whether it be the kindergarten teacher that gets on the bus and rides home with a child that's never been there before. Whether it be a high school teacher helping a student fill out a college application. Whether it be a middle school teacher trying to help a student find their way and decide what futures they want to do. All of this is done on our teachers' own time. Time is something that cannot be taken back. We all give of our time. So what I would like to ask, as we enter talks between our organization and the Board of Education, we ask that the board please give their negotiating team the instructions to listen carefully to our needs. Our negotiating team has spent countless hours looking, talking, and canvassing members. Many people here are very worried about their future and their concern. How long can we keep going at the same rate? When will our own teachers have to look at, in addition to what they do daily, look at maybe having to pick up second jobs to enhance or maintain their current lifestyle? I know our picture is getting better. I know we need to start slowly. And I know in the future that we will even get closer and closer to meshing and dovetailing ourselves together. But in this time, we are just asking that you remember us, you value us, you care for us, you show us charity, and that you are compassionate for us. Thank you very much for your time.
Good evening. My name is Joanne Van Eyck, and I am Vice President of the Union and Chief Negotiator, if you don't know who I am. It's been a very long time since I've stood up here. I've done it in many capacities, from being a rep to being President, Vice President, Negotiator for the last 25 years. I am here to tell you that what we're asking of you, asking for the teachers and the counselors, is not too much. For 6 years, we've agreed we won't take any money. We continually raised the test scores without mention of any monetary gain. We kept paying high prices for our health care. We tutor our students at low rate of $25.74 an hour. And when Common Core came into reality, we all embraced it. We changed our way of thinking and our way of teaching. We did this, the district said, sit tight. We negotiated and settled our last contract, an entire contract, without one single mention of compensation. We asked the district's team last year to pass the message to the board. We were not going to ask for money, knowing that the time would come that we would eventually be fairly compensated for our efforts. We also said that we're going to ask this year. So the fact is, should be no surprise that we are asking, because we said that last year. We are coming this year to ask. We have waited long enough. We also said that we are in the bottom quartile of pay. If you count the amount of hours and days that we have, is a lot more than most in the state. You put this at, that puts us back down to less than almost the bottom of the bottom quartile. When you offered us the 1%, I have to say, we all felt we were slapped in the face. Yes. In the last 6 or 7 years, prices of everything have skyrocketed. Health care, gas for our cars, child care, college tuition, food, utilities. We have come to the point that increased compensation is not a want, it's a need. We can't fill our gas tanks with Common Core. We ask that you consider how hard the good teachers and counselors have worked over the last few years and consider paying us for our hard work and dedication. We have done what was asked of us. Now the time has come that we are asking of you. Pay us for what we do make us feel you value our countless, countless years of experience, dedication, and hard work. Thank you.
That is the last formal request that we have to speak this evening. Would anybody else like to address the board this evening? Go ahead. Please state your name, please.
Good evening, Veronica Cortez. Good evening. I have two children with special ed at California and West Covina High School. I had a problem February 12th, and I already talked to your member, Mike Seaman, last week. My problem was that I gave a 7-day notice that I wanted to come and observe my son at California. I wanted to observe him through his OTN speech, and everybody was able to work with me, and the teachers and the therapists he has are wonderful. That is not my complaint. My complaint is that I was shadowed by the school psychologist at the school. I wasn't notified that I was going to be shadowed. I said good morning to the principal, the secretary, the school psychologist. Nobody put me aside and let me know that I was going to be shadowed. I'm sorry, my voice is, I'm upset, and it's been 2 weeks, and I'm still upset, and that's why I'm here. I think I was told it was in a school education code. It's not a policy, it's a practice. And I was told, I was concerned that I was the only one as a parent of a special ed that we were being discriminated. And I was told it wasn't that way, that it's all the parents with general population as well. And I'm here because I think that we should be notified. It should be either a letter, practice, a policy that you guys could agree on, that as a parents we should be notified. I don't know why I felt like I was being a criminal just to be there to see my son. And I don't know what steps I need to do or who I need to talk to. And that's why I'm here. And thank you for your time. Thank you. Does anybody have questions for me?
Okay. Somebody will get back to you.
Okay. Yes. Do I need my information?
Does anybody else wish to speak to the board this evening? Very good.
My name is Thomas Puentes. I've been working for the district for 9 years. I just want to put myself as an example of the type of teachers you have here, how dedicated we are. This year, I am involved in the school site council, the discipline committee at my school, also at the curriculum development committee. For 34 years, I worked for the post office. And for 15 of those years, I worked for the post office, and I taught full-time. And that's because my family, that my wife would stay home with the kids and that I would work both jobs to take care of them. But I've always been dedicated to teaching, and I'm so happy to be retired now. But we have to work hard to make ends meet, but our desire is to do the best we can for the kids and to raise them up and to teach them. And so you need to understand that we are dedicated. We are dedicated to these kids. We're dedicated to the school. And it should be taken into consideration that teachers shouldn't have to work two jobs. You know, they should get the proper kind of pay that we deserve. I work every day from 7 o'clock, and I leave usually around 6 o'clock. It's about 11 hours a day at school. And that's how dedicated I am. And I know a lot of us are there. I see them there after school working. Okay, so think about it. Thank you.
My name's Mary Gear. I've been a proud teacher at this district for 23 years. Many of us have been here more than some of our kids have been alive. We have been a team. We have dedicated our lives, hearts, and souls to this district, in this building, in the classrooms, in our lives. You say that we tutor for $25 an hour. A lot of us tutor for free because there isn't $25 or there's not. We only get 11 hours to tutor. Or the state testing's done, so we don't need to tutor anymore. We are dedicated to our kids, and we tutor after, before school, after school, on the weekends, and everything else. Some say that we, and during lunch, and we buy the kids lunch. Our tax people, they think we're absolutely insane because they see how much we've dedicated to the classroom, and a lot of it we can't even write off. We said that some of us have to work two jobs. I personally am working seven, and I come back till 9 o'clock at night or whenever the janitors can kick me out. So the sign outside is Unified School District. If we are unified, it is not district versus teachers. It is right versus wrong. It is respect, and it is a moral thing. We've worked as a team. We've waited 6 years. We have respected you, and we deserve the same respect. So I hope in your heart, souls, and moral conscience that you give the 6, 7, I'd give us 10% raise. Thank you.
Anybody else? With that, before we go on to the next item on the agenda, I've had a request to take a 5-minute break. We'll reconvene at 10 minutes before the hour.